So this woman has peripartum cardiomyopathy, which is a form of dilated cardiomyopathy. And this is actually antibody mediated. Okay. If you look at the literature, you go on Google, you'll see that a lot of the literature says, like mechanism is not fully elucidated. But one of the accepted mechanisms is that there are autoantibodies that are made against various receptors, beta 1 receptors, M2 receptors, and even myocardium. Okay. So this question's actually probably one of the more difficult questions I've made because the antibody mediated component causing the systolic dysfunction sounds a bit weird. You say, like that's not something I've heard. But there you go. Okay. So we can contrast this with choice D, the wrong answer. Placental insufficiency leading to left ventricular failure. Although this patient would have left ventricular failure in dilated cardiomyopathy, it's not due to placental insufficiency. Okay. Placental insufficiency can cause intrauterine growth retardation for the fetus. It can cause spontaneous abortion. It's actually the cause of preeclampsia and eclampsia in the female. So if this were a vignette of preeclampsia where we have hypertension and proteinuria after 20 weeks gestation, placental insufficiency could be an answer. Okay. So placental insufficiency, although very important for OBS-GYN questions, is not actually what causes the left ventricular failure in peripartum cardiomyopathy. We clearly have a low ejection fraction here. So also another point is looking at choice C, mitral valvular narrowing, because mitral stenosis is an important pathology in pregnancy, which classically shows up in second trimester when the plasma volume has increased 50%. Okay, so we get that massive increase in plasma volume during pregnancy. And if a patient has had history of rheumatic fever as a kid, and this was previously undiagnosed, and has a subclinical mitral stenosis, this can become clinically apparent. Particularly in second trimester, as I said, when the plasma volume expands more than 50% during pregnancy. And if that were the case, we would get acute dyspnea, okay, in second trimester. And we would probably get information as far as a an opening snap on auscultation during diastole with our decrescendo mid to late diastolic murmur. We don't get any of that here. So it's mainly the timing of the shortness of breath. Shortness of breath in second trimester, mitral stenosis. Shortness of breath in third trimester, peripartum slash even shortly after parturition. Diagnosis is dilated cardiomyopathy, peripartum cardiomyopathy, antibody mediated. Should be noted that transthoracic echo, not only will that show us ejection fraction, but it's also the answer for how we evaluate the patient's risks in future pregnancies, because this does get worse with subsequent pregnancies. USMLE will ask you that as well. They'll say, is this like a one-off thing? Will it get worse? Does it not matter? The answer is it gets worse. Okay. So it's transthoracic echo that will show us our ejection fraction. And depending on our ejection fraction, that will tell us our prognosis. That will give us an indicator of our prognosis in a future pregnancy. The lower the ejection fraction now, the worse the ejection fraction is going to be in a subsequent pregnancy. And also, another piece of interesting information is that if a woman with a history of peripartum cardiomyopathy gets pregnant a subsequent time, one of the difficult behavioral science questions is asking what you should chat with her about during the antenatal screening, which is option. The correct answer is options for pregnancy termination, which right away people say, no way, like what the fuck, like that's definitely wrong. That's a question that will get you probably, I don't know, 23% answering correct in QBank because it sounds so absurdly wrong. But the reason it's correct is it's not imposing. This is not the physician imposing any type of decision on the patient. It's because there's high risk of maternal and fetal death in subsequent pregnancies. Okay. As we said, it gets worse with each pregnancy. So we're not imposing any type of decision. We're providing information to the mother. We're telling her that there's a high risk of maternal and fetal death in this pregnancy, and that we offer options for pregnancy termination. Once again, I know it sounds incredibly wrong, but that's why I'm providing you value here as far as what will show up on a USMLE question, a difficult USMLE question. Let me see, choice E, protein deposition and myocardium, that would be consistent with amyloidosis, that's a distractor here. Cardiac amyloidosis could be an answer in multiple myeloma. Okay, we get restrictive heart disease as a result, restrictive cardiomyopathy. They would tell us there's an S4 heart sound, there's jugular venous distension, but we would not get this classically in pregnancy. Choice B, fluid accumulation within the serous pericardium, that's our pericardial effusion or cardiac tamponade, not what's going on here. That could be a distractor, and you say, not really sure. Could it be cardiac tamponade? If the question wants cardiac tamponade, they're usually going to give you a stab wound to the chest or a recent myocardial infarction with a left ventricular free wall rupture, and you're going to get Beck triad, B-E-C-K, which is number one, hypotension, number two, muffled heart sounds, and number three, jugular venous distension. So that's with cardiac tamponade. And you'd also get pulsus paradoxus or paradoxical pulse, which is a drop of systolic blood pressure greater than 10 millimeters of mercury on inspiration. So once again, in summary, this is antibody mediated systolic dysfunction, peripartum cardiomyopathy. And if in turn, or I should say, sorry, instead, if you were to get shortness of breath in second trimester, think mitral stenosis. And just be aware also that a small amount of pedal edema around the ankles is a normal finding in pregnancy if the patient does not have shortness of breath, okay? So I forgot to mention that. If they give you a presentation where the woman is otherwise fine, asymptomatic, but she's got a little bit of mild ankle swelling in second or third trimester, that's okay, that's normal. That's just from the pregnancy compressing the inferior vena cava a little bit, increased venous pressure, so we can get hydrostatic pressure in the ankles with some transudation and ankle edema, but it's a normal finding in pregnancy. It's only when you get a significant worsening of the ankle edema with shortness of breath peripartum that we say, okay, this is peripartum cardiomyopathy. Okay, that's it.